Calm down. So, how you doing so far? It's freezing. It's cold. It's cold. Hey, you know what? It ain't cold as in here as it is out there, so we're good. How was your New Year's Eve? Was it good? Was it just another night? Be honest. Just another night? No, it wasn't. You were with us, so I know it wasn't. We had the honor to go to Springfield's Recovery Sober New Year's Eve at the Oasis, and it was fun. They had I dressed up in a tux. I was going to wear it today because it's a rental, and I still have it until tomorrow, but I didn't. So I decided not to because it was really hot. Anyway, we got to do that. I hope you got to at least enjoy your evening, whether it be with family, if you went to bed at 8 o'clock, I don't care. I hope you got to have a good evening. It is a new year. We're 2 days into 2022. Seemed our world changed like 2 years ago, but in my head it was like 10 years ago. It just seems like it's been running so long, and the hype has been everywhere all the time on how bad everything's going, but it seems longer than 2 years for me. But we got a new year, right? Two days into it, still got that new year smell, that new year feel, right? When you get a new car, you get into a new car, something's just been cleaned, it's like, oh, that's good. Well, that's what this year is. We're only 2 days into it. We can't have ruined it yet. Now, some of us may have a start on ruining it, but we haven't blown the year yet. Anybody make any resolutions? I'm not going to ask you what they are. If you decided this is a year you're going to do something different, raise your hand. None of this. This church sets a very low bar as far as improving ourselves. Like, if we set it this low, some of us will make it. We all want something different for our lives than where we are now, right? Anybody here happy where you're at and you just want to stay where you're at? You're comfortable there and you just like to wallow in where you're at right now? No? See? Then all of your hands should have been up. I didn't even hear that. I don't know if I wanted to. You know, we all want something different. That's nothing bad with wanting improvement in our life. We make New Year's resolutions and we know that this is the year. God, I know I tried to lose weight last year and it didn't work. This is the year, right? God, I wanted a better job last year, but I got a better job last year. So some things work out. But resolutions we make all the time on New Year's, they never seem to quite finish how we wanted them. I'm going to ask my son and my lovely wife to come up on stage. I want to illustrate something to you. This is a typical American New Year's and how we go into our new year and how it kind of gets away from us a little bit. So, are you ready, Maestro? All right. So, the new year begins, and everything's cool, right? It's got that groove to it. You're like, this is what I'm going to be doing. This is all year. This is me just riding along, right? I got some fuzzy things going on, easy New Year's resolutions, and things are finally starting to make a little bit of sense. Right? And it's got that groove going. But then we keep adding stuff into our life. And we add stuff. And that groove starts to get a little bit out of control. It's picking up speed. And now we hit February. And all the stuff we decided back in January is really waiting. That gym membership I bought that I have not used yet, it's still sitting there. That diet I was going to start, I gave up on that on the fourth. Everything's going wrong. We have the best intentions to be better people. And then life gets hectic. March comes around and things are starting to get hectic and really chaotic in our life. And now this, it's just overwhelming our circuits, and all of a sudden our years turn around. And we are figuratively drowning in the noise of life. Did you do it again? Did you hear that when that was playing? Did you hear it? Wow. You guys can go down. Give them a hand. See, this is what our life looks like. We start out really nice and cool, and everything's great new year, man. We got all these wonderful plans. Everything's going to work out this year, right? This year is going to be different than last year. And as we go through, you know what New Year's resolutions do? They add more stuff into our already chaotic life. It's not bad to want to lose weight. It's not bad to want to get healthy. But just do it. See, when we say on January 1st, this is the year I'm going to fill in the blank, and March comes around and we ain't done nothing about it, now it's a stressor. This thing that was supposed to be better for us has now, oh my gosh, only got 9 months to go. Oh my gosh, six, well, forget it. I'll make the same New Year's resolution next year and we'll work on it then. Right now, I'm just trying to stay afloat with what I've got going on in my life right now. Who here has I've already asked you, a calm, mellow life? How many of you have chaotic, you don't know what's going on from day to day? Things change constantly. That's where we live in this country. They consumerized New Year's. We already knew they consumerized Christmas. But they've consumerized New Year's. If you just get this perfect thing, if you just buy this perfect thing, if you just join this perfect gym, if you just, your New Year will be better. And it's a lie. Second day, here I go, crashing your New Year's. 2 days into it, Wayne's already telling me I ain't got no hope. Might as well go back to 2021 and just hang out there. But did you hear? Little small voice in the middle of all the chaos. Did you hear it? Were you listening for it the first time? Or were you just caught up in trying to hear my voice through that voice? See, that's how we get. In our new year, we have these high expectations. And then come 6 months into them, that chaos gets so out of control that you really can't even have a conversation with people. But there's that still small voice. Jordan could have played a lot harder up here. I've heard him. He could have played a lot harder, a lot faster. You would have still heard that still small voice. That little triangle in the middle of all that chaos. You would have still heard that cut through the chaos. There's only one New Year's resolution that is going to affect your life this year, positively. I'll guarantee it, if you stick to it. I guarantee it. See, as Christians, our happiness, our joy, our sense of satisfaction will never be fulfilled in what culture tells us makes us happy. If I lost 100 pounds this year, okay, that wouldn't be where my joy would come from. If I gain 100 pounds this year, okay? We think that if we change something about ourselves, we'll be happier. We'll be better. We'll be okay, right? It'll be a successful year. If I get in that gym, man, and I hit them weights all the time, Well, for most of us, for 99% of the population, you'll use it 4 or 5 times, and then now you got an 11-month membership to a gym that you can't get out of. Our culture never has the answer to our happiness. Turn your Bibles to John 15. John 15. We're going to do the first 11 verses, but while you're going there, I'm going to read a quote. This is from Elizabeth Elliot, and she said, "This year, let us dissolve all our hopes into a single hope, to know Christ and be found in Him. May this be the year to desire a radically transformed, deeper, truer knowing of Christ as our all-sufficient one." Wow. That's a resolution I can get behind. We all at John 15? I'm going to read. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of a word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Underline that. Without me, you can do nothing. "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into a fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask for what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." God, thank you for your word today. Lord, help us to take this and see what you're saying to us about the only thing in life that truly matters. God, help us to get this today. In your name, amen. That quote I read before should be the only resolution we make. And we can find biblical application for it right here. And in your Bibles, you don't have my notes. John chapter 15. You know, 10 times in the first 11 verses of this chapter, Jesus uses the word abide. And I asked my class this morning, define the word abide. What's it mean? We got a lot of answers. Living in, dwelling, putting up with, hanging out. Those are all terms of abiding. But this word abiding is deeper. It runs deeper than just living, than just hanging out with. In context of the verses, the word abide is a verb meaning to endure without yielding. See, it's not just like, let's just go hang out and have a Jesus party. It's enduring. That means everything that comes at you without yielding in Christ. When it got chaotic, life's going to get chaotic this year, folks. Hope you know that. If you didn't know it, you've been warned. Life will get chaotic this year. You will have people you have arguments with. There will be people that don't like you, and there will be people that you don't like. But do you abide in Christ without yielding? Do you endure everything that comes at your way through the eyes of Christ? It makes a difference. It really does make a difference. See, if we understand our position in Christ as one of enduring, without yielding, then our goal to dissolve all hopes into a single hope, to know Christ and be found in Him. May this be the year to desire a radically transformed, deeper, truer knowing of Christ as our all-sufficient one. That becomes possible. Without enduring, without yielding, that will never be in our reach. Because we give up. That's why New Year's resolutions, if you want to lose weight, lose weight. If you want to join a gym, join a gym. If you want to get healthy, if you want to better yourself, take a step to better yourself. But if you want to make a resolution, what is a resolution? What's the root word of it? Huh? Resolve to, I am firm in what I am going to do. That's what that, it's not just something that we come up with. I'm just going to, this is going to be my New Year's resolution. No. It means you resolve within yourself to accomplish what it is that you want to do. And when Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing, and he throws that word in there 10 times in 11 verses, we should pay attention. I want to look at the word abide, and we're using it as an acronym, okay? Acronym. Each letter is going to be one of my points, so there's only going to be 5 points. And I probably will go through them fairly quickly. It's not rocket science. It is not rocket science. It's, you know, that song Surrender we sang last? You have already surrendered. Every person in this room has already surrendered. You either surrendered to God or you surrendered to the world. That's it. There is no sideline. There are no, there's no backup playing in life. You either are with God or you aren't. You surrendered to one side or the other. I'm asking you to surrender to the winning team. Right? If you're not with God, how is your life? Let me ask you, seriously. My life without God was, from the outside I looked good. As a snapshot, my life looked really good. I had everything you could ever want. But if you walked a couple days in my shoes, you would have quit my life right away. Because it was so destructive, it almost tore down my whole family. I want you to surrender to the side I'm on now. Right? And it only comes if we abide. So A, verses 1 through 4. Accept the process of pruning. That's hard. What? Pruning, isn't that where they go cut branches off and like snip off all the little things? That just feels like it would hurt. I tried to clip my dog's nails last night. I was successful getting one of her toes done. We avoid being pruned. Because it doesn't sound fun. But it's necessary. You know what? Okay, so we prune our flower bushes out in front, the rose bushes. And every year I think, man, those are the nastiest looking bushes when it's winter. And they're just like gangly little stick. But when we prune it, man, during the summer those things come back and they give roses all year long. They're all summer long. It's amazing. Pruning gets rid of the stuff that gets in the way of abiding. What is it that you have that needs to be pruned? What is it that hinders your walk with Christ so much that God has to literally cut it out of you? We all have them. None of us in this room are perfect. We all have things we do that hinder God from accomplishing His purpose in our life, in our family, in our church, in our community. And we have to be open to allowing Him to prune, to allow Him to cut out the stuff that doesn't belong. And to do that, you need to endure without yielding. Because pruning can be painful. Pruning could be getting rid of a friend that every time you're with that friend, you walk down that wrong path. You make them dumb decisions. Could be that person at work that gossips all the time. If you can't tell them to stop gossiping, then tell yourself to stay away. It might be laziness in coming to church. It was 11 degrees this morning when I woke up at like 5 o'clock in the morning to go let my dogs out. I opened the back door and thought I was going to die. The dog's feet barely hit the ground and I'm calling them back in. You know, I'm like, hurry up, get in the house. And then I went and cuddled back into my bed again because I didn't have to be up till 7-ish. And it could have been so easy just to stay in that bed. Man, it was comfortable. My wife's snoring like a freight train next to me. It could have been easy. But see, sometimes pruning means, Wayne, get out of bed and walk out into that 11-degree weather, -3 with the wind chill, and go to church. Because this is where my enduring without yielding starts to grow. This is the people that help me to endure without yielding. This is where that comes from. And so I can look at Christ, I can have a bad day, and I can go to just about anybody in this room and say, man, I'm struggling. And anyone in this room would talk to me. And we help each other. Pruning hurts, giving up comfort, giving up a habit, giving up a person, giving up your thoughts. All of that is involved in this. If you've been grafted into the family, if you're part of that vine, the pruning isn't what makes you accepted. What's he say? You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Your salvation is done. Now I'm telling you to live it out. The very next word, abide in me. That's the next step. Look, how do you know that's your wife? Jeff, how do you know? I'm talking, because you're married, made a covenant, right? Stood before friends and family and said, I do. Other Jeff, how do you know you're married? Every year she takes the belt to me and I understand for one more year I'm married. Now you know what we did? We made a covenant. The covenant is sealed. You are married. You already have everything you need to stay married. You got it. Jesus says the same thing. You are clean. If you've accepted me, you are clean. Pastor David, you can't step out of his love. You can't squash his love. I can't. I've tried. He's always there. We forget to endure without yielding. Are you living in him? Is he living in you? Is your life with Christ just an afterthought? Or do you know you're married? And you've committed to stay married. Doesn't matter what else happens. I'm going to endure without yielding. When we get that process down, when we start on that path, and it is a path, you're never going to get to a point where you're never ever going to give in to anything else. But when you have decided in your mind, and you have decided in your heart, in your soul, that this is a year that I'm going to abide in Christ, then you take a step. All right. God, I'm going to allow you to prune some stuff out of my life this year. Do you know what pruning actually does? It sets you up to bear fruit. That's the second one. Pruning our roses sets our bushes up to be immaculate. during the summer. Pruning stuff out of our life allows us to be who God called us to be. See, if I'm running in the same old trap house as I used to run, and I'm trying to tell people about Christ, who wants what I got? You're addicted like I am. I have to allow Christ to prune some things out of my life, to make my walk match my talk, to let my walk actually show what I believe. And then you will bear fruit. You will bear fruit. You know why bearing fruit is so important? It is the only thing you are going to take into eternity with you. That's it. Everything else stays behind. And bearing fruit is talking about Christ to other people. It is introducing people to Jesus. But it's also taking your mind and making it His mind. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are what matter. Don't tell me that you're out telling everybody about Jesus, but then you're talking to me about how evil your neighbors are. You haven't yielded that part. God still has to trim that part out of your life. Don't tell me you're bearing fruit, and yet every time you turn around, you're angry at something, because now you have no patience. All of this stuff matters. Why? Because God wrote it down for us. Do you think if He wrote it down, He'd want us to know it, right? There's a lot of stuff He didn't write down. We could fight over all that if you want. I don't care. But when He tells us something and it's plain, then there is no arguing. If you abide in Christ, you will endure without yielding. You will accept His pruning. You will bear fruit. See, bearing fruit is just becoming more like Jesus. Spiritual fruit will show itself in our lives as we change our character, our outlook. The only way that happens is if we spend time with Jesus and get to know Him better. The whole song, I want to know you more. You know what? It's hypocritical to sit in this room today and sing that song as an offering of praise and worship and then walk out of these doors and give it no more thought. See, 2022 should be the year that this church takes over everything. And it all begins with each person making a decision. This is a year I'm going to abide. Forget all the fluff that doesn't matter. This is a year that I'm going to abide. If Jesus said it, that's enough for me. That's what I'm going to do. But you can't never figure out what He said if you don't read His Word. If all you do is get fed on Sunday, you're starving. You're starving. See, we'll never achieve perfection, but Christ requires that we bear fruit because it is a primary characteristic of who He is. He'll never call you to do something that He doesn't do Himself. And we need to bear fruit. Verses 7 and 8. We need to involve Jesus in every decision we make. Well, of course, Wayne, that's dumb. We all know that. So why don't we do it? That word every, that's a sticker. I want to involve Jesus in some of my life. You know, I want him to have control over this stuff, but this stuff, yeah, I got this. This is easy. Every decision, we were talking upstairs. It doesn't matter what the decision is, it boils back to Jesus blessing the process. It's His purpose. Let me pull this out real quick. See, If you want to take serious the call to endure every part of your life without yielding, there's all kinds of things that will steal your attention. There's the culture itself. There's peer pressure, our own selfish desires. When His thoughts become our thoughts and His purpose becomes our purpose, then something starts to happen. We see God move in our prayer life. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, by that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. You mean God's going to make me rich? Nope. Because here's the thing, when you abide in Him and you're focused on Him, then the things you ask for are going to be things He desires. We talked about if you had one thing you could ask God for this year, one thing, and it was locked down that He was going to give it to you, right? It's like Solomon. We talked about Solomon. Well, God doesn't do that. God's not a genie. No, God's not a genie. But God did ask Solomon, Solomon, what do you want? You can ask for anything and I'll give it to you. And Solomon said, wisdom. He said, that's it. That's what you need. I'm going to give that to you. And then He gave him everything else on top of it. And Solomon still wound up twisted at the end. But God wants to give us, when we ask God for the things He has a purpose for in our life, He wants to give them to us. If I ask God for $1 million, He'd say, nope, I know what you'll do with me. Man, I'd lose you in a second if I give you $1 million. But you know what? If I ask God, please, please, God, help me to bear fruit. He's going to say, Wayne, you want to bear fruit? This is what you do. You see people and you invest in their lives. When I point something out in your life, you allow me to cut it out. When you see people, see them like I see them. Wayne, I gave you 9 fruits of the Spirit. How many of them actually apply into your life? And I can start looking at that and saying, well, you're right. You're right. I don't need more patience. I need more Jesus. If I get more Jesus, I will get more patience. If I endure without yielding, I will have more joy, even when things are chaotic and it seems like everything is out of control. When we endure without yielding, God will prune us. We will bear fruit. We are to involve Jesus in every situation, every decision. Whatever it is you decide this year, ask Jesus about it. He has a purpose for your life. It would be good to lose 100 pounds, but you know what? If the goal for me is to just concentrate on what I'm doing, God has blessed my life so much more when I stopped fighting for the things I wanted and just gave in to what He desired. Now, I'll probably never be skinny, but if you knew me 10 years ago, you'd think I was. You ain't seen nothing yet. I get to do everything I want. Why? Because God has a purpose in it. God has a purpose for it. When I jump out on my own, I always know because something goes horribly wrong and spins out of control, and I'm left going, I thought it was a good idea. Now we get to some good parts. Verses 9 through 10 of Abide. Dwell in His love. I love that. Now we get to the comfy part. When I dwell, that's that snuggly wrapping up in a blanket on an 11-degree morning and keeping all nice and toasty, and you just feel this is home. This is where I belong. That's Jesus. when I lean into Him and allow Him to put His arms around me, when I endure all that crud that's happening outside of me and I don't yield to it and I focus on Him, I get an attaboy. I like that. You know, the best thing my dad could ever do for me was if I'd done something, he'd look and smile. And I'm like, you know what? A million words couldn't have told me how he felt about me at that moment, but that smile or that lack of a smile, that told me instantly where I stood with him. When I go to snuggle into Jesus and I just don't feel right, it ain't because he's left me. It's because I didn't endure something I was supposed to endure, and I've got something between me and him. He's still there. He's like, Wayne, go back to what you said. When you abide without yielding, you get to rest in the love of Christ. You get to rest in the love of Christ. Verse 9 through 10 is, the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my commandments, and I abide in his love. Jesus is up there right now next to God, and he's saying, God, if Wayne just gets it right, Lord, help him to endure. He's going to experience what I get to experience with you 24/7 for eternity. He's going to get to snuggle up with me. And I'm going to make things okay. I don't know how long I've got with my mom. I'm okay right now. I'll be a blubbering idiot when it happens. But that's just when I snuggle deeper. That's when I endure harder. That's when I remember who I've actually surrendered to and what his power does. Because see, his power calms my heart. His love will soothe my ache if I allow it to. It doesn't take away the pain of losing someone, but it allows us to endure without yielding. I understand this is not what I'm fighting for. My mom will be gone. She's with Jesus. Not yet, she's not. Mom, if you're listening, I'm coming to see you today, so don't go yet. But do you know what? When I endure without yielding, then I understand that in the blink of an eye, I'm going to be back with my mom again. She's going to go to sleep and wake up with Jesus. One day I'm going to go to sleep, and it'll be like it never happened. I'll be there. And then I got all I got the rest of my life with her, the rest of eternity with her. When things hit you, when chaos envelops you, when it feels like everything in this world is against you, rest in his love without yielding. Things get harder, dig deeper into him. Reach out to your friends that are trying to do the same thing. Have people that hold you accountable. Help people that will just sit there while you cry blubberingly. That'll just sit there and endure with you. Church, if we get this, how much better would your life be if you knew at any time you could just go in and snuggle up to Jesus? I love snuggling up with my wife. And you know what? I love snuggling up with Jesus. As much as I love my wife, as much as I know she loves me, there's nothing better than a hug from him, than an attaboy from him, than a smile from him. I'd run through 1,000 fires for that. Things change. I would much rather be embraced than be attacked. I know I'm going to get attacked, so I definitely want to know I'm going to get embraced. Verse 11. come to the end. Let me find this again. Verse 11. Enjoy living in the joy of the Lord. Verse 11. These things, everything I just said to you, these things I have spoken to you. Why? That my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Are you happy today? I'm all right. I'm busting up inside with joy. My joy is not found in anything else than enduring and abiding with Him. That's why I can walk this life without all the crutches that I used to need in my past life. I've got the ultimate foundation in which to build God's perfect life for me on. And that's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I love how he says that. You know why I'm telling you all this, church? Because I want my joy to remain in you. Not for my sake, but that your joy will be full. Not half empty, not lukewarm, not come and go in spurts, but that your joy may be full. I don't know what it is that you're thinking about this year, but you would like to make different. It could be anything. For each person, there's a different reason, a different thing that we want to accomplish in our life this year. But losing weight won't make me happy, and it won't help me endure the chaos that this year will bring. Stopping smoking might improve your health, but it will not stop the chaos of this life. Joining a gym, starting a hobby, they're good things. There's a thousand things that are good things we could do for ourselves, but none of them will help us stand against the chaos of this life. Accept the process of pruning, bear fruit, involve Jesus in every decision, dwell in His love, enjoy living in the joy of the Lord. That will change the world. That will change everything we think about when we accept who He is. I want to read another quote. I wanted to include it just because of what it says. The guy's name is J.C. Ryle. He was the first Anglican bishop in Liverpool. He died in 1900s. In 1900. So he's about 80 years, 70 years old when he passed. But he said, to abide in Christ means to keep up a habit of constant, close communion with Him. To be always leaning on Him, resting on Him, pouring out our hearts to Him, and using Him as our foundation of life and strength, as our chief companion and our best friend. To have His words abiding in us is to keep His sayings and His precepts continually before our memories and minds, and to make them the guide of our actions and the rule of our daily conduct and behavior. You want to get something out of 2022 that you've never got out of any other year? Commit to abide. I promise you, all the other stuff is just fluff. This is what matters. This is what Jesus wants. This is what accomplishes His purpose and His thoughts. When we abide in Him, it's a new year. Savannah, I'm going to ask you to come up. This is a new year. New opportunities. See, as a pastor of this church, and I'm pretty sure Pastor David and Pastor Mike would agree, the only thing we want for you is a deeper relationship with Christ. That's it. Now, you want to do something else? Okay, we'll back you up with that. But I promise you, you come up to me and say, Wayne, I want to abide in Christ better this year. I'm going to say, whoa, let's do this. but it's a choice each one of us makes. I'm going to ask you, it's a new year, time to do things maybe a new way. Not for us, for Him. I'm going to ask you, if you're here and you're part of this church family, I'm going to ask every single person to come forward. We talk about stuff a lot. God, oh yeah, amen, Pastor, we're going to abide in Christ better this year, and we never even can take a first step of coming up and actually asking Him to help us. Because you cannot do it on your own, and I cannot do it on my own. Publicly step out together as a church, making a cognizant choice to abide in Christ this year, to endure whatever the year throws our way, that when life becomes chaotic, we will unyieldingly press into Christ and into each other. We'll understand the pruning is so that we bear fruit. I want this church to know God. I don't care anything else. If nothing else ever happens, I want you to know God. But that takes a chance. That takes a choice. The only New Year's resolution that has eternal consequences is what you decide to do with your relationship with Jesus. So I'm going to let Savannah play, and I'm just going to go over there and pray. So if we're together, come forward. That's all I'm asking.